Tonight I'm turning to the book of Psalm chapter 84. And I'll read verse 10. For a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. The words of this text, the expression of a person who esteems just a moment in the house, God's house, most worthy than any number of days spent elsewhere. And this psalm is actually written about those who were yearning to reach Jerusalem for worship. The whole chapter is about that and how they are joyful despite the difficulties that beset them on their way to worship. And I pick only verse 10 here for our study tonight. And the verse 10, as I said, the speaker, the person who wrote this, some said David, others said other writers, but whoever he is, he's an inspired writer. And his sentiment in this is that he esteems just a moment in God's house higher than any other number of days he spent elsewhere in this world. He values his partaking in God's worship above any entertainment, pleasure, leisure, comfort in the company of the worldly. Meaning he enjoys the worship of God and anything that the world calls happy. The tent of wickedness here is anything that brings maybe pleasure, anything that consumes our time by the world, which we may say it gives us some enjoyment as compared to the believers partaking in the time of worship. So he says that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the presence, in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. The tent of wickedness could be company of really sinners doing things that are immoral. It could also mean that the time of worship, you may be doing things that instead of maybe attending worship, we like to do other things. They may not be sinful in themselves, but yet, so long as we spend God's time in doing other things in the world, it turns out to be a tent of wickedness because it leads us not to be able to obey God. And anything that causes us to disobey Him is sinful. So it can be taken either ways, whether being with those who are really in immoral activities or those things that are really done for ourselves, which prevent us from availing ourselves for time of worship. And this, the person in this psalm expresses his high regard to the times of worship than any of these, whether in outright morality or anything that he would do in place of that at the time of being in the house of God. And as we look at this, this is no doubt. This is not from a believer who yearns after God and somebody whose heart has been renewed, because it's not common for any one of us to just long for the house of God, because longing for the house of God comes with a heart that seeks after God. So we see that this is a person who is a truly a believer and he yearns after God. And the years after God, he shows a renewed heart. And this also shows that this person, this psalm, is willing to, even if he should serve in the house of God. In those days, in the temple, you know, there was temple service. There were porters, there were the priests and the singers. There were so many services in the time of worship. Those who keep the gates, even the family of the Levite, that work was divided for them, and they do it consecutively. by family, from one family to the other, and at appointed times. So that this has reference to that. So he desired that even if we should be the doorkeeper in the house of God, which is the most, I mean, the lowest kind of work in the house of God, he prefers that than anything, I mean, that he can enjoy in this world. But you know, we as Christians don't have that system of ceremonial worship like the Old Testament. And yet, there are many ways a true Christian shows his intense desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many ways, and one of them is a desire for his worship. And it's a desire for his worship. And as this believer in this verse expresses his desire for worship, we also tonight will consider this subject, longing for corporate worship. Longing for corporate worship. Because the desire for this, the person that sounds, the desire for worship is a desire to join in others in the house of God. And joining there is for worship. So we also, there are many ways we can show our intense desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them, as I've said tonight, is the longing for corporate worship. If we are one of those that have sincerely brought to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we long for his worship. And his worship is done in the body of Christ, in the corporate body of Christ. So we consider this subject, longing for corporate worship by the believer. Well, corporate worship, I mean that the gathering of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ for worship as taught in the scripture. Because there are so many worship these days, and sometimes ask yourself, is it according to scripture? So we define this corporate worship as according to what the Bible tells us. And it is by this that a local church of Christ meet to pray, praise, and also hear the word of God and minister his ordinances. The time of worship, time of corporate worship is prayer, praises, the singing, and thanksgiving. There's the hearing of the word and also the administration of the Lord's ordinances, which are often the Lord's Supper and other things. And also, the corporate worship is the preparation ground for zealous and persistent Christian service of all believers. It's when believers meet to worship that they are moved with a zeal to serve the Lord. They are moved with a zeal to really want to do something for the Lord. Their spiritual lives are awakened. And it's a time that really we prepare to really be able to stand against the world and also continue our walk in our heavenly journey. So a believer's strong desire for corporate worship is a mark of a healthy spiritual life. A believer that strongly desires corporate worship shows a sign of healthy spiritual life. Since the church's meeting for worship is the most honored and privileged place than any treasured place on earth, the church's corporate worship, when the church meets to worship, is the most honored place to the believer on earth, and also the most privileged place to be than any other place on earth. Why are we saying this? Because it's the only place where the Lord has promised to specially show his presence. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is with each and every believer. Yes, each and every day is with us. But corporate worship, when believers join together for worship, he has promised in Matthew 18:20, is that for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's a special promise for the Lord to be with his people when they meet to worship. Where two or three. So when we talk of corporate worship, it's not an issue of having thousands of people gathered together. When two or three or more of believers gathered in the name of Christ, appointed to meet to worship, pray, to hear the word and to do the things as it is done in worship, the Lord has promised to be with them. And whenever the Lord promised to be with his people, we know that he comes with blessings. So many spiritual blessings attend us. And these days, as I said, worship has been somehow corrupted by many ways. So sometimes people attend spiritual worship for many other reasons, which I'll point out some as we go on. But truly, genuine believers meet really for spiritual blessings when they come to worship. They want to worship and honor the Lord. And differently, though they worship and honor the Lord and glorify Him in their worship, the Lord also bless them in many ways. They will have many spiritual blessings from His hand. So the feelings of the inspired writer of Psalm 84 verse 10 truly represent the desire of every godly person toward this honored place. The honored time and place of worship, where the Lord has promised to manifest His special presence and blessings. The sincere Christian counts it his greatest privilege that he will not exchange it for anything. You know how businessmen value the appointment. If they know of a business that will really bring them much profit, they will never miss the appointment. And I'm sure we also know how at the hospital, when we have an appointment with the doctor, we don't want to miss it. That also, yes. And so in this world, anything that we value that will concern us, we don't trifle with. And the believer, knowing the blessings of corporate worship, will not exchange it for anything. So we ask the question, how does that reflect to us, about us? Is it the same way how we attend our worldly things, our appointment, and sometimes when even there's a delay, how sometimes become annoyed and begin to be agitated? What about corporate worship? Is it the same way we are? Because the Lord has said, where two or three are gathered, there He will be with them. And the believer has such a great regard for such times of worship. A similar feeling of strong desire for public worship was expressed also in Psalm 42, verse 2. In Psalm 42, verse 2. Shall we turn to that also? Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Here we find how the godly was accustomed to corporate worship. He says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Here he's showing his habit of his attendance on corporate worship and the feeling of spiritual poverty in his soul, as he's not able to unite with the other believers to worship together. The expression is what he said, that my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? He's accustomed to worship, accustomed to always be there. It has been his life and his part of his life, and something that he doesn't want to miss. So something has prevented him, and he sees such poverty in his soul that he's not able to go to worship with other believers, and he's very worried. He doesn't know when to enjoy such a glorious privilege again. And he said, when shall I come and appear before you? So here, it's not just coming to maybe having some appointment. He's talking about public worship. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? When shall I be among those who will come and praise and worship the Lord? Who will come and lay at the Lord's feet and be in His house? So you see how the time seems too long for him. We don't know what has prevented him. I read somebody who gave a commentary, and he was referring to the sons of Korah and said that their dwelling were beyond the Jordans. When the Jordan swells, I don't know how to think, when the Jordan swells, when there's flood and the water flows, but they are not able to cross over to go and worship or go and say, they were part of the porters. So these were their sentiments. They are willing to go and serve and worship the Lord, but they are prevented. And indeed, it shows how keen they are to go and worship. So the time seems too long for them that they are prevented from enjoying this privilege. So the one who wrote that he was not content of his absence and relief from public worship, he intensely yearned for participation. He's not there, and he's not okay. That's okay. I'm relieved because I'm not going to live by there. No, he's rather mourning for his absence. So it is for us, our sincere desire for public worship may be tested. If we are genuine believers, it will be tested in times of sickness, in times when we are away, when we are absent for public worship? How do we feel if we are not able to unite with the brethren for worship? How do we feel? How is our attitude? Do we yearn for it, or do we feel relieved that we were not in church? How do we how is our attitude toward that condition? The Lord knows how our desires are in His worship. He knows how His people feel in times they are absent from His worship. He knows those who doesn't care much of His worship. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 14, He rebukes that time. Well, the Jews after the exile. Some of them were feeling that the worship of God was too burdensome for them. That book, some were even offering animals that were not whole sacrifices. They say it is burdensome to serve the Lord. It is burdensome to offer to the wife. They think that those who are not even serving the Lord or worshiping are better in the world. So they were complaining. But look at what the Lord took of them. Malachi 3:14. He said that ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? That was their sentiment. But the Lord knows that ye have said this. You are saying that. If you go on to that chapter, you see that the Lord, the prophet mentioned a few who are concerned with the matters of God, and the Bible tells us that as they commune among themselves concerning the matter, the Lord heard them. And we are told that the Lord, when the Lord comes, they will be His jewels. They will be those that the Lord will value. Those who worship, value His worship, and desire that they will be part of those who worship Him and are keen towards that. But He took notice of those who, well, they seem to worship God and say, but whether by their lips or in their heart, they complain. Well, we may not complain on our lips, but if it's in our heart, the Lord knows it. By attitude, the Lord knows it. So, it's something the Lord is keenly about when it comes to His worship. And believe, do you know that the greatest thing for the Lord saving us is to worship Him. You know, in Revelation, we are given the picture of the angels. They worship the Lord day and night. That was the main task of those, the picture we are shown, the angels in heaven. Remember, when the people of Israel were saved from Egypt, what was the message to to Pharaoh? Let my people go so that they will go and worship me and serve me. And throughout all their journey, over 40 years, what were they doing in the wilderness? Worshiping and serving the Lord. They had no business with any other people in the world when they were in that wilderness journey. They had no dealings. The Lord just provided for them, and all that they had to do was worship and service for 40 years in the wilderness. So you see, as the Lord just told Satan that man does not live by bread alone. It's not only our life does not depend on the things we have and the things of this world, but how our life is lively with God. And also, when He took them to the Canaan, the promised land, one of the things that always caused the Lord to punish them was the abuse of His worship and His temple and anything sacred that He has dedicated. So any time the worship of God goes down in Israel, there's judgment on them. Any king that will come who will despise the worship of God and His house. Remember, there was one who came who closed the temple house and everything, and people stopped worshiping God and all that. Judgment comes. So God is keen about His worship, and that His people are always keen about it. And that those of us who are saved, it's a great thing for us to always be aware that the Lord is keen about His worship. He saved us for that purpose. And when we go to glory, when the time comes that we are taken out of this world, that's the major thing that will consume our time in glory, worshiping the Lord. So two things that must make corporate worship a priority for every true believer. First, uniting in corporate worship is common desire for all true believers. To unite with other believers in corporate worship is a common desire. So you see, we in the Bible we have so many signs of true conversion. If we claim to be Christians, there are so many things we use to test it. One of it, our desire for corporate worship. Our desire, our intense desire to join, to worship God. Yeah, there may be hypocritical things in that, but then by others who are not genuine. But then one of the great desires is to join other believers for corporate worship. But there are some Christians who claim they seem to not to have any high view of corporate worship. They claim to be Christians, all right, but then they don't think that if they don't join corporate worship, it's not a big deal. There are many Christians, I've met many Christians like that. They seem to be nice Christians, so-called, but then they don't have such great and high regard for corporate worship. They think it's okay if their private devotion is lively, while attachment to public worship is less frequent. Well, I'm having a good time with the Lord, and my spiritual life is good. So if I don't, I'm not able to attend worship. I mean, it doesn't matter. Something like that. And this kind of harmful attitude became much prevalent after the recent COVID-19 lockdowns. You know that most churches were having the service online. There was virtual worship and all that. And as that now, many Christians seem to they prefer the online, the remote worship than in-person worship. And the report is all over. Many churches have given the report on that all over the world globally, that there are many who have not even returned to churches. They seem to be okay with the virtual kind of worship. At least, most of the time the reason is at least it gives them that they don't have to travel and they don't have to use my time and all that. But is that the way? For the time being, it was okay because we were not able to meet. But virtual worship or remote kind of worship is deficient in many aspects of what the Bible teaches as the gathering of believers for worship. When the Bible teaches as believers gathering for worship, the kind of online worship, the worshiping online is deficient in many aspects. It doesn't really meet the standard of what we call biblical worship. Well, for the time being, it can be managed since it isn't willingly that people are not willing to go to worship. Because the Universal Church of Christ is only rightly represented in this world when believers in particular locality gather physically for worship and service. You know, we have the church, we have the Universal Church of Christ, and also the particular, the local churches. The Universal Church of Christ includes all believers internationally, even those in glory, and it's something. But then this Universal Church of Christ is represented in this world by the individual local churches that we see. So you see, we belong to the Universal Church, but our participating in a local church worship makes us represent what we claim to be. So those who have low view of corporate worship, how would they honor the command to partake in the Lord's Supper? How would they, those who think it's not a great deal if they don't attend, the command of the Lord that this do in remembrance of me? And the command is always that we should meet together in one place, as Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 11, 20-33. How can they meet together? I remember in the time of the COVID time, people were having the communion online. I went to buy something at the shop, and the woman was talking about, he was just talking about that, people just have the wine, and I was so, wow. It's like they were having a communion online, so the pastor, they will join the pastor online, they have the communion and all that. But the purpose of the Lord's Supper is not just taking the drink and the bread. Okay? The coming together of believers for the supper has, blessings and which can never be, obtained by whatever means people, do it. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 11:20,
Look at how Apostle Paul said that. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not you, the Lord's Supper. Verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to be tarry one for another, it's something they are to gather together physically to take it. That is how it is done. He said, when you come to, when you assemble together, when you convene personally together for such an ordinance. So how would they participate in this and obey the Lord accordingly if they do not really care much about corporate worship? Also, how would they honor the command not to forsake the physical gathering together of believers for worship and service in Hebrews 10:25? How would they honor it if they don't regard it as a much great thing? How would they also share fellowship and serve the Lord with other believers? Online or remote, I mean, having private Christian life doesn't allow us to share fellowship with believers. Doesn't allow us to serve the Lord together with other believers. In Acts 2, verse 42, we are told about the believers, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were together. That is how the believers, community, believers, local church as a community, they worship, they do such things together. And such, they share fellowship and serve the Lord together. And also, how would they honor the command for mutual admonition of the brethren? And the mutual exhortation in Hebrews 3:13, which says, "But exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." There is a command for believers to exhort one another. So how are they doing, those who seem to have a favor, who don't think that corporate worship is an important, how would they do that? How would they connect others and exhort one another? So believers yield to the Lord's command to share in public worship because the Lord commands it in His word. The Lord commands us in His word. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That is the command. It's not just habitually so that people can think to choose it or not. Not forsaking. Being present. Being punctual. Always together. As the manner of some. And the background of this Hebrews letter was that there was the believers were in times of a great persecution. And maybe the tendency was there for some to consider their, maybe because of the persecution, even they might not be willing to attend the church meetings. And yet, that the command is that they should not forsake assembling themselves together. Persecution should not stop the worship of God. And in churches, we have seen how Christians have stood. Whether their life will be taken or not, they will continue to serve the Lord and worship. And that is how it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The gathering of believers for worship, it must not be forsaken. The house of God must not be deserted. The meeting together of believers must not be broken by anything. Except, I mean, really we cannot meet. But if anything at all, it must continue at all times. And why is it so? Not only is it a command which we have to fulfill, it's also for the satisfaction of our spiritual want. We all, as believers, have so many needs, and then when we come to worship, whenever we honor the Lord's commands and attend His house, our souls are fed with the word. Privately, we do our personal devotions, but I'm sure each one of us can testify how many times worshiping together, hearing the word being preached at time of worship has so much helped us in so many ways. So you see, while we honor the Lord's command to attend His house, our souls are filled with the word. We receive spiritual instructions, warnings, rebukes, corrections, encouragements that are useful for our walk with the Lord, which we might not have them in our private devotion. The Lord has appointed or given His people, and He helps with
He blesses with more understanding of His word to teach and also to preach, so that we are helped in joining with others. We are helped with so much with spiritual instruction to help us walk with the Lord. And again, believers always deserve to worship and praise the Lord personally together. It's something that binds us. It's like it's a desire that is in the heart. In Psalm 122, verse 120, verse 1, the psalmist says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." It is a delight in the house of the believer to just go to the house of the Lord. It's not something that he has to be dragged to go to the house of the Lord. It's a desire in his heart. And this is a common religious instinct in the spiritual person. And when we become saved, there are some spiritual instincts that moves us. The desire to read the word, the desire to be for our private devotions. Sometimes we may neglect it, but then how we are, it's like we have missed something that we are not doing. Then we want to have time to read the word, we want to have time to pray, we want to have time to meditate. It's something that is given to us when the Lord saves us. Because our souls, our new nature yearns for that. If that is not there, it's one of the signs that our spiritual life is lacking. We may be lacking spiritual life. The desire to really join in spiritual public worship of the church. So it's an instinct, spiritual instinct in the believer. It's not something that the believer is dragged to do. Sometimes we become cold in it, it's true. Sometimes many things around us become so cold in it, but then the desire will not die out. It will continue with us. And as and when we continue to join frequently, then the desire is warmed up. And the more we come, the more we want to come more. That is how the Lord deals with us. For spiritual things, the more we do, the more we are energized to do more. I read something about that. When believers go to heaven, it's not like we have battled our life in this world and we have conquered Satan, sin, so we go to heaven like pensioners who are going to relax. No, in heaven, we are going to have a larger strength where we'll never be tired to serve the Lord. In heaven, we are going to learn more and do more than what we have even done in this world. So when people think that Christianity, some people want to be saved and we have Christianity so that they will be comfort. They will have comfort and that they don't have to suffer and they want to have the ease of this world. It's not true. Because in heaven, we will have a strength that will not get tired when we do the things of God. We will have the strength that will let us love to do more and more. So on earth, the believer's spiritual motivation is to do more. When we are blessed with spiritual things, it moves us to do more for the Lord. It doesn't make us to become retired people. Okay, I've served the Lord for maybe 30 years, so now I think I'm a mature person, so I have to retire. No, it rather makes us to do more for the Lord. So that is it. So it's a spiritual essence in us that will grow and advance as we grow in spiritual life. So the next thing about part is that every sincere believer who longs for closer walk with the Lord will long for corporate worship. Do we really desire closer walk with the Lord? Our desire, it will come when our desire for corporate worship also is high. Well, it is true that there are some who desire for public worship for wrong reasons, as I said earlier. To some, it's just a mere formality. Yes, just a form that they want to. Yes, it's something that they just have to do it like a chore. They just love to sing the hymns and go through the norms. Well, it's something we just have to do. And of course, this kind of thing is very common this is because many churches have turned worship to theatrical exhibitions where people go there, it's as if they are going to the theater. Many attend public worship just to satisfy themselves, not God. It's very common. You ask many people who are going to church on Sunday. Well, they will say, oh, they are going to worship God. But if you ask them, what is their joy going, is themselves. They are going to enjoy themselves. I remember one parent of our Sunday school children, we invited them to church, said that, well, when she comes here, we don't dance and so that she can, she, already she's stressed out and she wants to have some excitement. You know, we don't worship for, yes, it's true, when we worship right, the Lord will cause our hearts to be joyful. But that is not the purpose of worship. Worship is for God. So we go there to honor Him. How do you say you want to? I read a story. I think there was a singer in the palace in the olden days. And so this king had visitors. And this singer sang very well. But, you know, all, and after the singing, he would be given a prize, a reward. But when the king saw that, all the song he sang was about himself. Yes, though he entertained the people and all that, but he was singing about himself. So at the end of the program, he went to the king to claim his reward. He said, okay, you sang for yourself, so pay yourself. That is that. So the king has employed him, her or him, he has to sing for the king, but he sang for himself. So that is how many people nowadays do when they say worship is for me. And sadly, many of these contemporary Christian music is all about me, it's me, and the joy of me, my, no, worship is God first. You see how the Lord taught us the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Even everything has to do with worship is God first. Where does He fix our wants along the prayer? It's somewhere. But how do people think when they come, they attend worship, this is their enjoyment, their happiness? No. It's God first. So you see, even people go through this thing just for that. They satisfy themselves, not God. So with the drumming and dancing, contest, choreography, reverence is lost. Because if I'm worshiping for myself, what do I care about reverence? But if it's about the most holy God, then I must be careful. So many people are careless even in church. And when we tell some people, they tell you, oh, in the house of God there's liberty. Misapplying scripture for foolishness. In the house of God there's liberty. God doesn't care about anything that people does. People do in His house. So there's this part which is formality and all, I mean, just going through the norms and also that to satisfy self. So it makes worship not how it ought to be. Also, we have false pastors of our time also who make merchandise of God's worship. Yes. False pastors today make merchandise of God's worship, extorting money from their members, thereby making many places of worship a den of thieves and synagogue of Satan. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, what did He do? When He went to the temple, He went to clear those who were selling doves and trading in His house. He said, "You have made my father's house a den of thieves. This reason, my father's house shall be called the house of prayer, a house where men can engage with God, men have communion with God. But you have made it to serve your own purpose. You want to clear it up." And today, many places of worship is no different from a den of thieves and a synagogue of Satan, because God is not honored there. People are making merchandise of worship. And that is it. That is what is going on of late. So, for some, interest in God's worship may cease to be spiritual. It may become aesthetic or ecstatic just for show or for fun. And when it is either for show or for fun, it ceases to be worship. It started, I think, with the Roman Catholic kind of worship, where the room is so decorated to draw, when you look at the pictures and the lights and everything, as if just the physical appearance. But that's not what should draw the heart to God. No. The heart, the worship is spiritual. It's not the physical, and then how the building is molded and with the pictures and the lights. And nowadays, I'm sure some churches, if you enter there, they don't even have this kind of light. All the disco lights. And I wonder, are they going to read the Bible? It's interesting. That is what is happening. And how can they worship God there? It's interesting. So, such things are going on, and just for sure, to show that our church is well decorated. No, God is not. Do you know what the Lord just went to the people concerning the temple, again, the physical temple there? Huh? When the people have desecrated God, when the people have disregarded God, the Jews were so much into the temple, they think the temple. No, Lord just Christ said that everything will be brought down. Everything will be brought down because the people there have I mean, they see the temple as a very, God does not dwell in the temple. Even there, that they had that physical glory appearance in the temple. Yet, when the people sinned, the glory left. And it became just a mere worship. And even the priesthood at the time of Christ were for money. They sell it to the families that are rich at the time of Christ. So you see, even at the time of Christ, the worship in Jerusalem at that time was corrupted. That's why the high priests were willing, they were keen on their worldly gain. They taught Christ and his teachings was against their worldly state. They did not allow them to be as who they are. So they were against Christ. But what do we have today? The same thing is being repeated here, and people don't care about. People care about the fun of the show. And also, at best, people also want to have part in the corporate world just for religious reputation. Oh, he goes to church. He's a religious man. He's a Christian. So people respect him so that it will advance his worldly, ambition, whatever. But then all these things are things that people are tied to. I mean, they look for in public worship, which are not right, or they do to public worship. But the desire for worship by the true believer is the communion with the Lord. Having communion with the Lord, that is all that matters. In the Psalm 42 verse 2 we read before, it says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. He said, when shall I come and appear before him? So the expression for the living God indicates the object of the believer's desire for worship. Who is he looking in time of, or time when he joins for worship? It was not the ceremonies he longed for, the songs, or any other person, or the preacher. Nowadays, people go to place of worship for a particular preacher. He's popular, he's famous. No, this is not, what we have to look for. But it was the conscious presence of the living God and a communion with him. God will be among us because he has promised that where two or three have gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And where it is done in reverence, in his honor, he will be with his people. His presence will be there. So we see, the psalmist said, my soul thirsted for God, for the living God. Not mere for the temple, the presence here at the temple, or be at the place of worship, but for the living God. That is what the right desire for worship is about. If we desire anything apart from the having God's presence with us in his worship, we have lost everything. So it is so with every genuine believer, the conscious presence of Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, that we look into please when we come to worship. He's the Savior, he's the one who has saved us, he's the one who bought us, he died for us. And he is now seated on the right hand of God on high. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, we are told, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. So in worship also we seek the Lord and nothing else. He is seated there, he is our Lord. He, the work of Christ, after finishing the work of redemption, he is there for us. He is in heaven, still working on our behalf. Our prayers go to him. He looks on our lives, he hears us, he helps us, he guides his church, he keeps and protects his children. He's there looking on us. And when we come to worship, he's there watching us. And if we have that mind that when we have come to worship, the Lord is watching us. He's seeing that we are honoring him or dishonoring him. And do people think that we know? Like, for instance, we see President Akufo-Addo. He's seated maybe at a place. Anyone who goes there with kind of fear. Nobody goes there to go and joke. But how do people think when they go to the house of God? But the Almighty God, they go there and the jokes and everything. Nowadays, it's so sad. People can just crack jokes in the house of God. People will laugh as if it's a theater. But that's not worship. God's presence. If we read the Old Testament, people think, we are in a time of grace. So God, has God ceased to be God? No. We are in a time that God is granting us the mercy to be able to come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not cancel who he is as the Almighty God who deserves to be revered.
who deserve to be honored in all our ways. So I move on to some blessings from corporate worship. Some blessings that we benefit from corporate worship, and I'm done. The first thing is so refreshing. It is so refreshing. Often we come to worship with so many burdens on our hearts. Often it's because we are in the world, we don't, each one of us, we come, and especially some of us who work, we may be at the workplace, maybe in the nature of our work, unwillingly, we may be among ungodly colleagues at the workplace. When we do not place ourselves there, I mean, most of the work, we have to be there, their conversation and many of their free jokes and everything may really affect our minds and hearts for the whole day. And we'll be among them. But when afterwards we're able to join other brethren to worship, often we will realize how our souls are revived from such tortuous atmosphere. Then such kind of thing that became a burden on us, all the foolish conversations, we are relieved. The corporate prayer, the praise, the preaching brings to our hearts a reviving balm. It gives us a refreshing. Myself, years ago when I was at the office, the same thing. Sometimes you at the workplace, so many things goes on. We are so busy, so many, and mixed up with so much immoral attitude over there. But when you come to worship, at the end of the worship, you realize you are revived because something has come in, and you are given a refreshing in your to be able to think afresh for our spiritual life. So beyond that, in so many ways, not only coming from workplace, even on Sunday, sometimes all the weekly activities, even still there are some things behind our back. But when we come to worship, when we give ourselves for the whole day for the Lord's Day worship, at the end of the day we see we are relieved from the troubles, and we see that the Lord is with us, which will be different from those of us who stay in the house and then the trouble will still be upon our minds, and we seem to be a people without any help. I remember there was a visitor who used to come, we visited him, and he said, well, sometimes he wants to come to church, then there's so much burden on him, so it's useless to come. So we advised him, he himself told us that. We told him, you see, people sometimes think that Satan is about our money, our business, and no. The hindrances that will cause us not to really be close to God, that's what Satan is about. So we told him, that's how Satan works. You think it's something just so exact? No. Satan is happy that you'll not come to hear the word of God. You'll not come to be partakers of God. So that he'll keep you busy, and all that will come to your mind is the world, your family, business, money. That's all. And where does it take us to? It's a life of death, if such is the condition of some of this life. So we advised him, but then he couldn't continue. I'm sure the world is still sitting on him. But we told him, if he comes, the Lord will help. The Lord will help, but he didn't. Here. So the Lord, corporate worship really helps us a lot in such ways. Also, assurance of our faith. Corporate worship comforts us that we are not alone in representing the Lord. Sometimes, in our private witnessing and work, and when we see that many people will reject the gospel, and it seems even our family, larger family members don't care about what we really stand for the truth. Sometimes we think, are we doing the right thing? But corporate worship helps us contain such a problem. And when we think of Athanasius or Luther, they did not stand alone in representing the Lord. They were part of a group of believers, though they were in a minority, but they were part of a group of believers who were with them when they stood for the Lord in their times. We talk of Athanasius or Martin Luther, they didn't stand alone. They were believers, they were part of believers. They were not private believers. They couldn't have done what they did if they were private believers. So, by taking corporate worship, we learn also from experiences of each other. How do we learn from each other? It makes us realize that our spiritual experiences are common thing with all believers. The struggles we go through and the troubles we face as Christians, we see that it's very common. It's not something strange. And this will strengthen our trust in the Lord. It makes us to advance in sanctification as we realize other believers constantly. While we are struggling, we see other believers among us,
in the same problem, but they are laboring, continuing in their service for the Lord. It moves us also, okay, then I can also trust the Lord to continue. But if I'm a private Christian, how will I have this blessed? I wouldn't. So you see, when we join in others, it helps us so that we can also stand as Luther or others stood for the Lord in our walk with the Lord, in our representation of the Lord. It also assists in the sanctification of believers. Especially young believers learn to improve their prayer as they learn from mature believers among corporate worship when they come. You see, all of us, we learn how to pray. Yes, you can pray, but you see, you enrich your prayers when you come and you hear others pray. Then you see how you are also able to properly order your prayers. It's in the house of God that we can learn among believers, where we have mature believers praying, and we're able to learn from life as we read from scripture. The prayers recorded for us are from those who have had constant experience with the Lord, and they are recorded for us. So the same way, believers among us who are mature, they by their prayers can also help the young believers to really know how to pray and also pray and grow in their prayers. And also we are encouraged to persevere in obedience by examples of zealous ones. When we are among other believers and we worship together in a corporate body, we may learn from those who are so zealous. How are they zealous? We may attach ourselves to them and we may learn how they are able to walk with the Lord properly. And it also helps us to also continue to walk properly. Especially, some who never thought they can be teachers, as they come along and they see others teaching, and they also participate along, they become teachers, Sunday school teachers and other things. They never thought they would be Sunday school teachers, but then by joining in and moving along with others who are they're able to learn and give themselves to the service of the Lord. And one thing also that it guards against backsliding and waywardness. You know, each one of us, if we are true believers, we can backslide and fall into waywardness. But corporate worship puts us in the community of believers. There's a constant and mutual admonition to check us when we are going astray. There's constant checking and mutual admonition, which no Christian will have it in a private Christian life. In a private Christian life. Because others will see our life, and if we are going astray, they will caution us. Other believers will caution us, and we also can caution others, so that we should check us against backsliding. But while we are alone, it's easy for us to backslide and to fall into waywardness. Also, Satan, like the lion, easily attacks the stray sheep. Then also, you watch animal documentary, often the stray animal that the one that the devil will attack. So it is when people with less attendance to corporate worship, they are easily to be influenced by false teachers. Because the Lord has made it that the local church that we are part of, that is where we have to grow together. But the more we frequently absent ourselves from corporate worship, and then maybe we give ourselves to other things, we are easily influenced by other things which might be false. But the more we participate, we are able to really be firm in our faith. We are able to grow together as a church, and then the devil will not have opportunity to bring these false teachings on our mind. So that having or partaking corporate worship, then we realize what the Lord Jesus Christ purpose for His church. That we ought to grow together as a body. Growing up, as He always used that picture, the Bible used that picture of like the church as a building growing together, each part being joined together and growing properly together. So when we are part of the corporate worship, this helps us to grow together with other believers, which makes us to be obedient to what the Lord wants His church to be. And also, corporate worship binds us together in mutual love. It causes believers to really live and grow together in love. It makes the love of Christ in us to grow, so that the Church of Christ is able to advance our personal individual lives is able to advance in sanctification, in prayer, in all aspects of our spiritual life, with a corporate worship that helps us. And in us, and when we are more frequent and we are constantly attending, the Lord is able to help us, because He has promised that His presence will be with His people when they meet, whether two or three, as He has said. So may the Lord help us to think on these things and to realize how precious it is to have the corporate worship, and to realize how we are privileged to have it, to help us in our walk with Him, and in also our life as we live in this world.